We are beginning a new study on the spiritual disciplines, which I introduced last week in this hour. If you missed that, you can get it online. It was primarily a message just to encourage us to do this from 1 Timothy 4:7. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. We used a phrase from Donald Whitney's book on the spiritual disciplines, that these things we're talking about are habits of devotion. That's the definition. These are habits of devotion. And we need to think in terms of creating good habits in our spiritual lives, because there are so many pressures that would make us have bad habits regarding our spiritual lives. There are so many things that make it difficult for us to apply ourselves to consistent, diligent, faithful habits of devotion, to be long-term and day-by-day in the specific things of our walk with the Lord. And so instead of doing that, most of the time, most Christians that I have known, at least, and much of my own life has been a struggle of impulsive enthusiasm followed by many weeks of inactivity, followed by impulsive enthusiasm. It's like the way a friend of mine says, you know, his workout plan is 6 days on, 6 years off. You know, it's
and we laugh about that, but we cringe inside.
Yes, because in all humor there must be truth, or there wouldn't be anything to make you laugh. There are a lot of challenges that make it really hard for us to be diligent in our spiritual lives. And so we're going to talk about a lot of things, a lot of specific things that will help us to be more faithful in our day-by-day living, practical things that you have to do, that I can't do for you, that you personally, individually have to grind out on your own over the long haul and be consistent and devoted and habitual. So the first category that we're going to talk about today and next time, which will be 2 weeks from today because I had to punt for next week. Jeremy will be teaching next week. So we'll do today, and then, as it always seems to be, if there are two parts, we're going to skip a week and then we'll do part two. But on this one, we're going to call it Bible intake. And I borrowed that phrase from Donald Whitney, and some of the outline for the next few weeks will be from his book on spiritual disciplines. But if you've got that book, you don't have to worry about me teaching his book. I'm following his outline because it is so good, but I'm going to bring my own lessons, and so if you want to read that book, it won't be redundant very often. Bible intake. You need to take in the Scripture. You need to. If you're a Christian, you need it. You know you need it. You need to take it in consistently over the long haul. And even though that is an obvious thing that you know, 6 days on, 6 years off is kind of the standard for a lot of people's lives. Or 6 days on, 2 weeks off maybe. But we need to do this. And we still do it in spurts with big gaps in between. And so I want to offer you this morning, I want to begin our thinking on this topic with a very practical help that for some reason is steadfastly resisted in the American church. You ready? This is big stuff. You ready? When you are seeking to discipline yourself, goals help. Yeah. Sounds painfully unspiritual, doesn't it? To a lot of people it does. Sounds worldly. Goals? That doesn't sound godly. We want the Spirit to lead, right? If you're seeking to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, goals help. Goal setting and checking, that process is just a necessary aid for overcoming the weakness of human flesh. You do it all the time. The more effectively you do it, the less time you waste in your life, the more you get things done that you intended to do. A goal is just a plan for what you either want to do or need to do, right? A specific plan. I have an objective. I want to do this, and then I can check along the way. If I do the goal well, I can check along the way to see if I am still headed in the right direction. On the cross-country team that I coach, we have a homeschool team. Got a lot of good runners this year. We're having a lot of fun. But in our race 8 days ago, we had five or six runners who came to the finish line looking much too fresh. Now, this is long-distance running. The littlest guys run a mile and a half. I mean, some of them are 6 years old and running a mile and a half a race. Varsity runs a 5K. And this is a sport that at the finish line, several people throw up in every race. The saying that we use is, it isn't cross-country until somebody throws up. So it's intense. And if you get to the finish line looking fresh, then you didn't push hard enough. And we had five or six 8 days ago who looked way too fresh, because you have to learn how much you can do. And the tendency with a lot of people is to hold back so I can sprint at the end, right? And so if you don't know how to pace yourself, you hold back too much and you don't realize how hard you need to push. You don't realize how much it needs to hurt. One coach that used to help with the team was pacing a bunch of girls, and I hear them going by, and she says, "Come on, girls, it has to hurt more than this." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to use that." So at practice on Monday, last Monday, you know, I had gotten the times and remembered the faces that looked fresh at the finish line, and we run at Bowling Park for some of our practices. And at bowling, there's a marker for every quarter mile. So I sat down and figured out what a time for them ought to be based on how they looked and what I think they can do. And I gave them a goal for every quarter mile. I didn't give them a goal for the 5K or for the 2 miles for the JV or for the mile and a half for the juniors. I said, okay, for every quarter mile, some of them needed to break 16 for a 2 mile race. I said, I want you to be 2 minutes at every quarter mile. And if you're not at 2 minutes at the first quarter, you got to speed up. And so, you know, and there were two boys who had a mile and a half, or I guess they were two-mile race, that both of them looked a little too fresh, and they're pretty well matched. So I told these two boys, now, after the first mile and a half, forget the stopwatch and race each other. Let's see who can win between you two. So then we turn them loose, right? Everyone that I gave one of those goals to achieved the goal. Our varsity girl who had placed fourth 8 days ago looking too fresh trimmed a minute and a half off of her 5K time. She didn't know she could. She said two things at the finish line. I've never done that before, and I thought I was going to throw up. And I said, good, you're there. You pushed today. And so yesterday at the race, I said to her, it needs to feel like it felt Monday. If it doesn't feel like that, you're not going fast enough. And she trimmed the minute and a half off of her time and placed third against some tougher girls. And fourth place was a minute behind her, right where she had been last week. So a JV girl, I won't mention any names, Michelle. I wouldn't want to embarrass you in front of everybody. A JV girl trimmed 3 minutes off of a 2 mile race because she didn't get to the end of the race and look back and go, that was a little too slow, at every marker along the way. Now, she had this look on her face that was not like the look on her face during the race. So I told her yesterday, you remember how it felt? It needs to feel this way today. And she ran and did a great time in yesterday's race, because now she knew how it had to feel. During the races, they don't have those markers, but now they know how it feels. It is not unspiritual to have a goal. It's just a way to do what you decided you need to do. It's just an aid to help you along the way so that you can make adjustments before it's too late. If you say on January 1st, I'm going to read the Bible through this year, and you don't check how you're doing again until December 31st, it's too late to fix anything. So you need a plan to do that. You need a goal. If you're going to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, a goal will help. Helps just as much with Bible intake as it helps with cross-country running. It needs to be a reasonable goal, something you can track, something that'll be hard, but you can do it. It doesn't need to be a ridiculously hard goal, or you won't do it. But it's not unspiritual to have a plan. In fact, if you're an actual human being, it's necessary. I have known a couple of people who were not normal that maybe didn't need to do this or maybe did this without even realizing they were doing it. But for most of us, this helps. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you know that taking the Bible into your mind and heart is important to you. Scripture has a power in your life that nothing else has. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says that the Word of God performs its work in you who believe. There is a supernatural dimension to the Scripture that actually accomplishes things in your life by its power, not by yours. And so you need to take it in. It is powerful for accomplishing God's purposes in your life. If you've got your Bible handy, look at Isaiah 55:8. Isaiah 55:8, and I'll read through verse 11. God is the one speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God sends forth His Word, and His Word works in the lives of people. It is powerful. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is our sustenance. This is our daily food if we're to be healthy. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Now, moms, dads, you were asleep, so don't y'all, you just listen to what your wife says. Moms, how often does a newborn baby long for the pure milk? It doesn't matter if you just went to sleep. It doesn't matter if you're sick. You know, that baby might go 3 hours, but that doesn't mean you get 3 hours of sleep because you got something else to do, and then you lay down and you're just barely asleep, and here we go again, right? We're not talking about once a week kind of intake. If we long like newborn babies for the pure milk of the Word, we need to be taking Scripture in to our lives in order to grow the way we should, in order to be healthy Christians. And we know we ought to. What we often lack is discipline. Now, as we think about ways that we take the Bible into our lives, that's the thing that needs to be working in our minds, is what specific thing might I do to discipline myself more effectively in this category? We're going to look at 5 ways to take the Bible in, 3 today and 2 more next time in 2 weeks. Perhaps the most basic way to take the Bible in is hearing it. You can hear the Bible taught, or you can hear the Bible read. In the New Testament churches, the letters that we read were read aloud in those churches. If people couldn't read, they listened to the reading of the Scripture by others. You can hear the word in a couple of ways like that. This is often the first kind of exposure that people have to the Scripture, just hearing it. You know, they came because they were curious. They came because they were trying to get a date. They came because they were trying to get a business contact, or a whole bunch of them. But they heard the word proclaimed, and the Spirit of God did a work in their hearts through the Scripture, and they were saved. Most people didn't come with the best of motives, but they came, and then God was gracious, and He saved them. The word, even just proclaimed and heard, is incredibly powerful. But hearing the Bible should become an area of discipline in our lives when we are Christians. It should be a habit of devotion in our lives. The new believers in Acts 2:42, the day that the 3,000 more or less were saved at Pentecost, it says in Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship. They were devoting themselves from the first day as Christians to the apostles' teaching. They were hearing it. They were dedicated. They made it a priority in their lives. Now, that does take discipline. I mean, it's really not complicated. It's not just, I feel spiritual today, so I'll hear it. You have to decide what you're going to do. First church I pastored, we had a family that lived 3/8 of a mile from the church. They were the closest family. They had 2 kids. And they missed church much of the time. And the father would always say, I'm not talking about once or twice. I'm talking about until I had to try to control the look on my face. We wanted to come Sunday. We were planning to be there, but the kids didn't wake up. Now, we had worship service at 11 o'clock. 3/8 of a mile from his house. And he didn't come because the kids didn't. And he wasn't lying. The kids didn't wake up. And so, in that case, disciplining himself to hear the word would have meant some very practical decisions regarding what the family does on Saturday night. Because preschoolers do not sleep past 11 if you get them home. 4 out of 4 of ours never have. You got to keep them out pretty late to get them to sleep till 11. Right? I mean, these were preschool age kids, and then they woke them up for preschool on Monday. So the decision, very practical, we will wake our children up for church. We will wake them up in time to be there and hear the word. In that case, you know, it would have been far past Sunday that disciplining our lives to hear the word would, you know, would have had an impact on Saturday too. Disciplining yourself to hear the word means being consistent in attendance. It means being prepared by having had enough rest. It means having your mind ready when you get here. There's a discipline in just coming in the door ready to listen. Putting out of your mind the distractions that you come with. That takes a small amount of effort. You have to do it and be willing to do it. Now, I do need to say that the assembly of the church is the first priority for hearing the word. Technology has made it very easy for you to hear the Bible, but hearing in the assembly of believers is more effective than hearing in traffic will ever be. There are many advantages to gathering with the church to hear the Scripture. There is the benefit of mutual accountability. In Philippians 4:9, Paul is encouraging the Philippians because he had to leave town. And he's encouraging this fledgling church. And he says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. There's a dimension to knowing how to live the Christian life that is lacking if you don't have other Christians around you. If you just hear it without ever seeing those things they saw in Paul, there's something missing. This is a package deal, and it works better if you've got the whole package. The context of corporate worship adds a greater focus. It adds a dimension of being able to observe the lives of those who teach and of the other people who are being taught. Now, if you add an MP3 player on top of all of that, then good. You know, I have one I bought a couple of years ago, and it is a blessing because a sermon in traffic is better than some of the other things I've done in traffic. You know, kind of holds back the flood, you know. But that's not the first thing. That's not where you start. Now, there are a lot of ways to hear the word, but however you hear the word, there is a caution that I want to give you. There is an additional dimension to this discipline. Correcting a woman who had misunderstood where blessings come from, in Luke 11:28, Jesus said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Hearing the scripture and failing to observe it does not qualify you for these blessings. James 1:22 says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." And so everybody's supposed to hear, but some people hear without doing, and they're kidding themselves, and they're not going to have the blessings that Jesus promised. There must be discipline in regard to how we listen. We must be ready to apply to our lives what comes by as we're taking in the Bible. Now, the second way in which we take the Bible into our lives is by reading the Bible. Not everyone in this world is able to read. And not everyone who can read has the privilege of a Bible in their language that they speak. We are greatly blessed. But Christians who can read and who do have Bibles should take the Bible content into their lives through reading the Word. And there are tremendous benefits that come to us if we'll just do this. Just read it. Just read it, and that's all. Even just that brings tremendous blessings. If we read with the attitude of application that Luke passage I just read gives us, then the reading alone will bring us spiritual growth. We got a lot of controversial issues in our day, and that is exactly like every other generation who ever lived, right? Just different controversies, but not essentially different even at that. You got political intrigue, you got financial issues, you got questions about morality, and everybody's fighting all the time. Have you ever wondered what to think about some of these things? If you have any question at all like that, that you don't know what to think about, you ought to read through your Bible. Just read it. Read it a couple of times, cover to cover, and it will do wonders for your ability to understand the controversies of our day. 5 times in the New Testament, Jesus answered controversial questions with the words, "Have you not read?" And then he quoted scripture. Marriage and divorce. "Have you not read how in the beginning God created them male and female and said..." Have you not read? It is the responsibility of every Christian who can read to read the Bible. But it requires more discipline than hearing the Bible requires, and therefore fewer Christians do it consistently. For listening, you can just show up. To read the Bible, you have to work. And if you will do the work, the benefits are tremendous. Those who read the Bible themselves, privately, consistently have the Holy Spirit as their teacher. This is a good deal. The Holy Spirit, not through me or some other teacher, but the Holy Spirit teaching you directly truth from His Word. Direct instruction from the Spirit of God straight into your heart because you sat down and took 20 minutes to read His Word. How many times have you said something like, I've seen that verse dozens of times, but I never even understood what it meant before. It was so clear to me this day, and there was an aspect to it that I'd never thought of before. If you've ever uttered something like that, please raise your hand. I want to know how many. Everybody over the baseline age, whatever that, every adult in the room, I think, raised their hand. You know why that happened? Why is it that you can look at a text six times and the seventh time you read it, you go, wow. Or I've heard that story all my life, but this time I read that story and oh my goodness, I understand it and it encouraged me and it strengthened me and it excited me. It is because the Spirit of God is active in teaching you when you read His Word. He is in charge of the curriculum. And so you read it every day faithfully, and some days the Spirit shows you something truly dynamic for your life. If you're not reading it, you don't get that nearly as often. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." There are blessings for those who read. So I would say to you this morning, if you have never read for yourself every word that God preserved for you in His revelation, that should be your first objective in Bible reading. That should be your next goal. Read through this book from cover to cover so that you have read every word that God revealed to you. We could say this is a responsibility of a Christian. If God has changed you by His grace, should you not know what He says to you? Would you want to stand before Him and have Him say, "Have you not read?" And you have to go, "Well, no, I never did read that. I heard about it. I thought I knew what was in there, but I never read it." If you have read it all, then you know you can. So read it again. Read it often. You know how it blessed you. So be blessed again. Do it again. Do it a lot of times. There are other reading plans and goals that are also good, and you may prefer to choose one of those for a time, but you need to be reading. Now, there is a major obstacle that I want to address because it has come up so many times from people who have given me feedback. There's a major obstacle for your accomplishing any long reading goal like that, like reading a whole Bible through or reading the whole Old Testament or even reading the whole New Testament. There's an obstacle, and the obstacle for Christians often is that they stop to study. You know, this is interesting. Or particularly in the Old Testament, what does this mean? I have a question about this. I don't quite get this. And so you camp out for a while on something, and you do that a few times, and then even though you were in the Bible pretty much every day, you got hopelessly behind, and you gave up on reading it through. Right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this one, but I already know the answer. Most Christians have done that at least a time or two in their lives. Well, we need to read through the Bible. And so I think maybe the thing that would help with this obstacle, if you've struggled with this one, or if you try to read the Bible through for the first time and you do struggle with this one, we need to recognize reading as a separate category and a valid category distinct from studying. The objective, if you're reading through the Bible or reading through the Old Testament, or I'm just going to read through Isaiah this weekend, the objective is just to read it. And that's a valid objective. It is the big picture. It's like flying over at 10,000 feet and looking at the countryside. It's not like getting down on your knees and examining one individual flower. Both are valid. Which one is your goal? Stay on your goal. We need to read the Bible through and get the whole picture. And the only way you can do that is to avoid, during your reading time, avoid plumbing the depths so that you go on and get the rest of the story. You know, sometimes we're too focused on half a sentence. You spend a year on the meaning of a Greek verb. You might fail to read the book of Jude, which doesn't cover a full page in your Bible. You can get too detailed. There's a time for that, but there's also a time for the big picture. And if we recognize that as a valid category distinct from study, then we'll stay on our goal. Look at your watch at a quarter mile. You know if you need to speed up. It works. It works. Reading through the Bible is a valid category of Bible intake. And if you'll commit to it, when you look back, you'll be amazed at how much the Spirit of God put into your heart and mind just because you read it without stopping to study. So that's the challenge in that category. The third way that you can take the Bible into your life is by studying the Bible. And here I'm not talking about listening to my study compressed into a sermon, but I'm talking about your personal study of the Scripture, your own personal private Bible study. It may help you to avoid getting bogged down in your reading time if you keep this as a distinct category in your mind and don't let it cross with your plan for reading. When I do private study and that's unrelated to something I'm going to preach on that week or in the next few weeks, I often study things that came up in my reading time. Now, this year I have unloaded several of those on you and told you I was doing it because I just couldn't leave it alone after I had looked back at it. But I will keep a list. I've got a folder of things to go back to. And so if I'm reading through and I don't want to stop, I don't even want to stop today and not finish the chapters I need to read today, I'll write down, I need to come back to this one when I'm in the frame of mind for more careful study, and then I'll go back to them. And some of the richest times of study in my life have come just from what God prompted my heart to in the reading of Scripture. So, you know, there is a way to get back to that. You don't have to ignore those things that interest you when you're reading, and just keep it as a separate category, because when you study, you got to come with a different mindset and take time. But you don't have to do that every day either. Better to take an hour than to take 5 minutes a day. Now, there may be some in this room who would question whether you even need to study the Bible yourself. You may not feel qualified. You may think that's my job. But the Bible is a book for every believer, and it is a book that can be studied by all believers. And we have the resources for you to be able to study it. Without investing much money, you can have some basic tools and you can get questions answered and really get down and study the Scripture. Psalm 111:2, which is one of those out of my reading that I unloaded on you a few weeks ago. Verse 2 of that psalm, though, says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them." When a Christian is excited about what God is doing, you can't keep them from studying. They're coming, "Have you read this book? Have you seen this thing? Did you know what this psalm said? It's wonderful." The only problem is, it doesn't always happen that way, does it? I mean, it's not every day that you're excited in that way, is it? I don't have the capacity physically to be excited every day as I am excited some days. It just doesn't, my body doesn't work that way. My mind doesn't work that way. We're not made that way. And if we are wise, we will rely on discipline rather than feelings, and we will study. So you study because you should. You study because you discipline yourself, and exciting times of study come. Now, if personal Bible study has never been a part of your life, it's probably not nearly as hard as you think. You start with just the Scripture. You write down some things that seem meaningful to you about the scripture. You look at the structure of the part you're looking at. You know, what does it say? Who's talking? Why is it saying this? What does it mean that I need to do in my life? What's the application to my life? And then after you've done a good bit of that, you can look at the cross-references that are in most Bibles, and you can do word studies. Some of those, that'll be in your Bible. And then you can look at commentaries. And if you have a MacArthur Study Bible, the part below the line is a commentary. It's a good one. But you don't look at it first. Let the Spirit show you first. And then check with the commentaries to see if you missed anything. I mean, there's some things you didn't know, so you couldn't figure it out. But figure out what you can first and then check the commentaries. And if you need some help with resources, I'd be happy to help you with those. Just talk to me about it. Several other people in the room could do that too. If you're seeking to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, goals help. So, for our discussion time, let's think about some practical goals in each of these three categories. Hearing the word, what might be a helpful goal in that category? Would it be listen to 20 sermons a week on my iPod? No? Why not? Maybe.
Your schedule and can work them in based upon that. Some of us are in the car more than others, so you may be able to listen to more sermons a week. But it's knowing your schedule, knowing your heart, what you're able to fit in, and what you can, you know, rightfully understand. I mean, if I tried to squeeze 20 sermons in a week, I mean, I could tell you what any of them said.
That's right. That was the trick question. I grew up in a denomination where there were so many meetings that there was never time to consider what to do with what you heard. And we became a congregation of spectators who evaluated the quality of the delivery instead of thinking, what do I do with this? And so, you know, that is a danger of hearing, that you could just listen and listen and listen and never do. Your goal needs to, it depends on where you are. You know, for some people, it's a different travel schedule to get you in town more Sundays. For somebody else, it might be, I'm pretty faithful in Sunday school and worship. I need to join one of these small groups and step up and do another level, hear it in another way, and have some chances to interact more like we get in the small groups. For somebody else, it might be buying an iPod and finding some good links and listening to all this free stuff that's online. Some of that can be really encouraging during the week.
There's some great stuff.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a blessing to have it. So it depends on where you are. I mean, you don't need to start with that and, you know, be in Sunday school or church 1 week out of four. You need to start with the most basic things and set a goal. You know, some of the runners I gave goals to 8 days ago were just intermediate goals. You know, they're going to have another one as soon as they get a little stronger. You know, that's not the goal for life. That's the goal for today. So, you know, you'll add, but you start with whatever's next in the category of hearing. In the category of reading, according to Whitney's book, an audio Bible contains 71 hours of material. Now, if somebody had asked me to guess that, I would have said three times that much. 71 hours at talking speed. And most people read a good bit faster than talking speed unless you're in First Chronicles. In which case, I just mumble those names and keep going. Second Chronicles. Those are good books. You just have to be willing to bend the Hebrew a little bit and keep going. 71 hours. I mean, I was just scratching my head going, that. So what's a good goal for Bible reading? I'll read through the Bible the next long weekend. I get a Monday off. I'll do it over the weekend. I knew a guy that did that. You know, everybody else out of town, he was in school. Everybody's gone. He's bored. So he read through the Bible in a weekend. Speed reading. I don't think he got much out of that. Maybe he did. He said God blessed him. Maybe he did. But that's not the goal I would set for myself. I would set another. What do you think?
There's the Bible in 90 days, and I did it in 120. But it really just comes out to 45 minutes a day.
Wow.
If you have the time in the morning and at night.
Yeah.
But I bought 8 copies for young mothers that were struggling with depression, and they said it was like an antidepressant.
Yeah.
It had that kind of power of being there every day, and it was stripped of cross references and everything, so that you just read and all. It's just the Bible, not broken up, and it's just they start, end, start, end, start, end, and you just write in a margin question mark so that you don't bog down. But it was doable.
It is. You know, you can set a goal like that. I have known or heard of pastors that would read the Bible through 3 and 4 times a year. That really challenged me. I thought, wow, that's a lot. But you can certainly do that. 45 minutes a day would probably get you through it 3 times in a year. You know, there are distractions and interruptions, and it always feels like I'm spending more time than that, but it's about 15 minutes a day to read it through in a year.
But I set aside all other books for that time period.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do.
So if you've never read it, it wouldn't take all of that long. One thing I've done this year, because we had so many weeks out of town that it's harder when you're traveling and you're sharing a room with all these people, you know, one room or two rooms with a adjoining door. It's harder to get that quiet time. I have a sound enhanced office now, and that helps. So that means it's quieter than the rest of the house. But this year I got behind a couple of times, and so I just started reading again at night, not every night, but a lot of nights. And I'm a week ahead all of a sudden because just that little bit more on some nights, not every night. So even if you get behind, you can catch up as long as you do something every day. It's when you try to do it 3 days a week that you get really frustrated and then you quit because you're so far behind it's impossible. Anything that includes a reasonable amount of intake every day would be a really good goal for your reading. It could just be, you know, books you've never read, or just the Old Testament, or just the New Testament. But I have been greatly blessed in my life just from reading it through again. Read it through. You know, you don't know what you've missed. You don't know what hasn't been called to mind by the Holy Spirit. There are many things you've forgotten, and just reading it through again is always a blessing in my life. If you don't have a plan for your Bible reading, what happens? Then it is unspiritual, isn't it? By default, right?
Yeah, I used to try a different reading plan every year, and I stopped that. I now do the same plan every year, and it's to what you said about you read a passage 6 times, and the 6th time the Holy Spirit reveals something. You know, I know in early September I'm in Hosea, and it was just last year after the 3rd time of doing the same plan that Hosea 6 jumped out, and you know, I should have gotten it before. There's a real blessing to know it this time of year. And seeing how God can reveal
it. Yeah. It's encouraging. I think I told y'all, somebody in the church asked me periodically where I am on my reading. And it's Marlene. and I told her, I laughed at her. I said, I knew you were going to ask, and I'm behind, you know. I teased her about it. So now she asks even more, where are you in your reading? So this week she asked, and I said, I'm a week ahead. Can you believe it? How about that? But it encouraged me. You know, so many people think they're not supposed to ask me anything. Marlene's like, where are you? Have you been reading? Yes, ma'am, I have. I'm a little behind, but I can catch it up. Oh, it's a great encouragement. So a lot of times if you're following a similar plan with other people in the church, you know, you could talk it up and keep yourselves encouraged. So studying, a good goal would not necessarily be study like John MacArthur can study, at least not for this week. You know, that's not the first goal. But maybe set aside 30 minutes to study a psalm or a shorter book if you've never done any of this before. You know, try to set aside chunks, larger chunks of time for this so that you can focus, try to get somewhere quiet, use a pen and some paper. Keyboards don't work as well for me in this because I'll get pages and pages and then it's hard to find it on the screen. And I can take the papers and spread them out, and because usually I'm preparing for a sermon, and so it's easier to find that stuff. But find something like that that works so that you can record your thoughts and look back over them. And then I'll go back over with a different color pen, and then I can find the things that really were valuable, because a lot of the ramblings when I observe are less valuable. It's just a good process to keep your mind focused on the Scripture. So good goals might be study a Bible book over the next 3 months, or join with a friend and study a Bible book together, meeting once a week to talk about what we've done and take it in pieces, or you know, some other kind of...
Old Testament or New Testament survey?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's when I first, you know, really started getting that taste for the Bible was early on as a Christian. I was going to the Christian Service Center, and they did surveys of both the Old Testament and New Testament, and that's really helpful.
Yeah, there are just so many wonderful ways. Again, if you would like some pointers on that, feel free to speak up, and we'll point you towards some things. Well, I'm over my time. It's been that way all morning so far. Let me lead us in prayer, and we'll be dismissed.